Now, here we are in lesson 102. Remember, we ended lesson 101 looking at the one prophecy we talk about, and that's the one in Nineveh. And as I said, all these other prophecies and all the details fulfilling them in the archaeological evidence for them is in the book, the classroom book you can buy online. But let's take a look at this one. This is the destruction of Assyria and Nineveh that's prophesied by Nahum. Okay, so when you look at these, here you see on the screen that Nahum, as he prophesied, between 663 and 654 BC, gave these judgments against Assyria. In chapter 1, verse 10, he said that Nineveh would be destroyed in a state of drunkenness. For while tangled like thorns, and while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble fully dried. And then in Nahum chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 6, he said they'd be destroyed in the flood. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. The gates of the rivers are opened and the palace is dissolved. And then in Nahum chapter 3, verse 13, he said that Nineveh would be burned. Surely your people in your midst are women. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. Fire shall devour the bars of your gates. Well, we actually have historical records from a non-biblical source, Diodorus of Sicily, who wrote about the destruction of Nineveh in his classic histories, Bibliotheca Historica, chapters 26 and 27.5, when he went through the destruction of Assyrian Nineveh. Listen to what he says. Just click on the screen. All right, in the first one about drunkenness, this battle, decided apparently entirely by the Assyrian drunkenness and disorganization, was the final scene before the actual battle for the city itself, the siege. There's confirmation of the biblical record that they would be drunk when the attack occurred, being destroyed in a flood. After 3 years of heavy rains, the river, swelling wide, broke down a distance of the city walls and flooded a portion of the city. The sieges, learning of the break in the wall, attacked this point, forcing entry into the city, and took over as victors of the whole city. Arbaces was crowned its king and given supreme authority. There you go with the river flooding the city. And then burned, extensive traces of ash, which represent the sack of the city by the Babylonians, Scythians, and Medes in 612 BC, have been observed in many parts of the Acropolis. Therefore, the city ceased to be important. Here you have historical, non-biblical sources validating the prophecy beforehand that how Nineveh would be destroyed from the book of Nahum. Let's click on the screen. In slide 2, God ends it in Nahum chapter 3, verse 19, with this prophecy. Your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? Nineveh would never recover. So let's click on the screen and say what another historian said. George Messinger, in his book, The Fall of Nineveh, said this. Almost from the turn of Layard's spade, the city of Nineveh began to surrender hundreds and then thousands of informative clues to the past. For centuries, the only knowledge that such an empire existed was found in the direct and indirect statements of Scripture. As the centuries rolled by, and as no archaeological evidence turned up to substantiate the biblical record, doubt began to grow as to whether such a people ever even existed. The historian puzzled, the skeptic jeered the scriptural accounts. So complete was Assyria's extinction. Nineveh was destroyed in 612 BC, never rebuilt. Today, it's just a preserved archaeological dig unearthed by Austin Layard in 1847. Incredible record of the accuracy and reliability, again, of the Bible. You see the video attached? This is the second half of a video on archaeological facts. It's a half hour long, but I separated them into two pieces. This one will go, you can go through the New Testament. It's very well worth watching to see all the archaeological proofs for the Bible. That's lesson 102.